Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us, and it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more.
Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom. I'm here with Lotus. It is the end of the year, and we're doing something a little different. I promise we will get to the other Magna Gee. We were talking about how Ithelia is more than a Daedric Prince and how she's one of the Magna Gee. And we're going to go over some of the other, the other nine lost star children.
Yeah, I was going to say, we had a lot of requests for different things as well. Those will all be, we'll be tackling those soon enough.
Absolutely. We've got plenty of time to get through all that stuff, but we wanted to do something fun to wrap up the end of the year. This is something I've done on some of the other shows as well. We're going to do a Q&A. This is kind of an ask us anything thing. I've posted on social media, I've posted on the Discord, on the Patreon, and we've got a bunch of questions, and some of these are pretty silly and some of them are pretty awesome, and if for different reasons and really deep or whatever, and we're going to tackle these questions. We're going to give you the best answers we possibly can, just kind of off the cuff, how we feel, what we think about these things, and I hope it'll be a fun way to kind of wrap up the year. And real quick, before we get into it, just some stuff to kind of plan things out. That's how this is going to go. Next week, you will have the Robots Radio holiday episode where we have some of the other hosts all get together and we all talk about our favorite things for the year. That'll be up on the audio feeds. So don't look for that on the YouTube channel, but that'll be up on the audio feeds. And then after that, we'll be back to regular. So we'll be talking about all sorts of crazy lore. And this coming year, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, there was a big announcement for ESO. They're making some significant changes. I think Lotus and I are very excited about where things are potentially going. There are some concerns about maybe certain things, but we'll just see how that stuff shakes out. But some of it is like revamping old areas with better updated textures and animations and combat reworks. And
yeah, it's very jarring to go to. I mean, it's one thing when you've, it's going to be weird to grow up with it because we started from the beginning, we've seen it type of thing, so it's whatever. But it's if you're a new player and you go to one of the newer zones and then you go back to one of the previous zones, it's kind of like, ooh, this is a, it's a huge visual difference.
Yes,
and
yes.
That stuff might be good to have some continuity.
Right, and they're going to revise and make it more friendly for new players to jump in with a new way things start out. Some people are concerned about things, but I think that they have... assuade? Is that a word? They've dealt with some of the concerns.
Assuaged. I know what you're talking about.
Right. There's a word that fits in there. One of their concerns was, are they going to do like seasons and then the seasons go away and you have to get a season pass and you miss out on stuff? They've said they're not doing that. That is not part of the plan. Anything that they add in will not disappear. So it's not going to go away and you won't be able to get it anymore.
Right.
So that seems like it's a good thing. Speaking from Lotus and I, we both are now on they used to have a stream team only. Now they have kind of a content creator team that we are now a part of. A creator team. And we actually got a meeting specifically with them the day before this was announced to everyone else. We couldn't say anything, but we had a meeting with them. We got to ask them questions too. And the spirit of everything that they said in that meeting is very much along the lines of they're trying to address the things that the community cares about and that they want. So I think we should at least give them the benefit of the doubt. And then once we see things start to roll out, we should understand that that's the perspective going into this. And that it doesn't mean that they won't accidentally mess up or have to change some things. But one of the things they did say is they're going to try stuff out. And if it doesn't work and the community doesn't like it, there's nothing keeping them from rolling it back and trying something else out.
Right. So that's, I think, one of the things that gives me kind of like a cautiously optimistic vibe as opposed to a cautiously pessimistic vibe of this. It seems like it's meant to address stuff more efficiently, which I hope is true.
Yep.
And for ESO players, sometimes that's been a lingering sticking point where it's like it will take a while for them to get around to things. If the schedule is a little less rigid, maybe they can get to it quicker. That's what I'm hoping. You know, obviously we'll see when it happens.
Right.
I think the big problem was just seasons has such a negative connotation with so many games.
Right. But there is a good way to do it. I think there's a good way to do it. And beyond just the season stuff, I think, updates to Cyrodiil and updates to PvP stuff that people have been asking for forever.
Yeah,
like
for
the list actually does take on a lot of the big things that people have had issues with the game. And if heck, even if they only get 80% of it or 60% of it right, that's still an improvement over where you are today. So
yeah, for sure.
I think the intentions are correct. Hopefully this plays out in a way that is good. So we've got that on the horizon. That I'm sure you guys in Tales of Tamriel will be talking about that a lot.
If you want a real deep dive, we're currently organizing our thoughts. We wanted to do it the night of, and we're like, that might be a little too hasty.
Right.
We're planning out, our show. But yeah, this weekend we should be having a Tales of Tamriel getting recorded where we really dive into all that if you're an ESO fan and looking forward to the new season and want to discuss stuff.
Yeah. And so if you want the deep dive, go check that out there. Tune into our stuff in the future as things get rolled out. I'm sure we'll have opinions and share our thoughts on that as kind of a secondary, maybe at the end of each of the shows kinds of thing. Also, rumors are circulating. Not only is 2025 supposedly going to be the year of Skyblivion, but there are rumors out there that Elder Scrolls Oblivion Remastered will be announced next month. I don't know if there's any credibility to these rumors, but rumors are circulating again. This is something Juicehead has talked about a lot on his YouTube channel. If you listen to Juicehead stuff, he tends to keep a good pulse on the way things are going. I don't know if he's reported on this specific rumor, but there have been rumors in the past about this. It is something that seems like it's been kind of hinted at for a while. So if we get an Oblivion Remaster in 2025, you know that Lotus and I will be deep diving Oblivion lore, and that will be amazing. So
I really hope that's
excited about that. Yes. And we really hope that is a thing. We're both big fans of The Elder Scrolls Oblivion. I'd love for a reason to dive back in with new graphics and all sorts of stuff. So, but here we go. This is what we're doing this week. We're talking about your questions and we're answering the best we can. So here, let's just dive right in. Why don't we start with the Patreon questions and then we'll jump over to the Discord questions and we'll kind of take them in
Sounds
order.
Like a plan.
So this one comes from Serenity. Last name starts with an A or first name starts with an A. I don't know if Serenity is a first name and that's the last name. I don't know. Serenity, we'll just say Serenity, who asks, just asked the same question on the Fallout Lorecast, because I did the same thing on the Fallout Lorecast recently, but where do you think Elder Scrolls 6 will be set? I know the general theory is Hammerfell, but I'm wondering about Akavir because it has a VI in Akavir, which is 6 in Roman numerals.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I'm not going to lie. I think that holds more credence than she might, or they might have even mentioned.
That sounds like
intended.
That sounds like the kind of thing that Todd Howard would absolutely latch onto.
100%. That's why I'm like, I think that actually matters more than I would have kind of jokingly been serious about. That's totally a Todd Howard thing.
Absolutely. Now
they love their notable things like that, where it's like, oh, 11 11 11, that's super memorable, you know, this lines up, you can have the 5 be this, and
he
good.
Loves that stuff.
Look at Oblivion, we were just talking about
the
4 is part of Oblivion,
right? Okay, so here's the thing. I very much doubt we will get a game that is 100% not in Tamriel. I think that that's too far, but I would not be surprised if the main setting is somewhere like Hammerfell in Tamriel, but there's a secondary setting like going through an Oblivion portal, or like the equivalent of like going down into Blackreach in Skyrim. You know, like this secondary setting where you get on a boat and you head to Akavir for maybe the climax of the story, or there's some significant thing that happens as kind of a set of side quests or just kind of an extra zone that plays into the main quest line. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something like that, and I would be super excited for that. I think the community at large would be like, oh yes, send me to Akavir. It is time. We need to see this place.
I think that would be kind of neat. I do have sort of a thing where it's like, we do experience Planes of Oblivion and things like that, but for the most part, and I know some people really do want it, and I guess I get it, but like, I don't think we're really leaving the continent of...
Dude, we went to the moon in the Elsewhere DLC for ESO.
We did, and like ESO, I feel, has done some really wild stuff.
Yeah, well, our Tam, we've been to,
right?
Like they've busted into some other weird locations,
some
that are
weird
not
realms.
Tamriel.
Correct.
So,
but we also don't really go to the other continents.
Yeah, but we could. What if
we could?
What if they did? Like,
so
it could,
here's my thing.
Could happen.
We could, but I feel like until more of the actual content is realized in new gen stuff, as opposed to kind of the pixelated days of yore.
Okay, but ESO is new gen. I'm gonna play devil's advocate on every single one of your points.
For sure. But mainly, what I'm saying is, like, with a numbered entry, I feel like ESO is more of the here is everything. Like, here's the whole thing.
Right.
For better or worse, some people don't, you know, obviously care for the MMO aspect, but I feel like one of the things that ESO has tried to tackle is, here is a giant multiplayer, just this is everything. Like, and they slowly fill it out. And we've, like I said, we've seen new realms of Oblivion we haven't seen yet. We've seen all sorts of, we actually haven't seen, it's not really another continent,
right,
but we went to, High Isle, even like the Sistress Isles. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing stuff like that, but I'm curious in a numbered entry.
We've had the Mayamor show up, or in the Slowed, who would have even expected those
right.
ever show up
so,
in the game?
But it's like, I could
Skyrim,
see us going to Thras in ESO before a numbered Elder Scrolls
maybe,
game, if that makes sense.
Maybe, but it's just been so long. In Skyrim,
I guess
we go
true.
To
it's been so long.
Where the Nord Dead go. The name of that is
Sovereign Guard.
We go to Sovereign Guard. Like, before Skyrim came out, there was no way you would have predicted that we would go to Sovereign Guard.
That's true.
Like, you wouldn't have said, you wouldn't have even thought that that was a thing. Or heck, even gone back to the island Solstheim. You know, like if you had predicted that, like somebody who played Morrowind, been to Solstheim, played Oblivion. There's no way you would have predicted, oh yeah, in Skyrim, we're going to go back to Solstheim. You would have been like, no, we already went there in Morrowind. Why would they go back there?
Yeah. And I mean, we've seen Apocrypha and stuff. I don't know. For some reason, it seems less weird for them to explore new planes of Oblivion than it does to explore other continents for whatever reason.
Right. I agree. It does feel different, but when you actually think about like what goes into designing a new zone you've never been to and how weird and wacky it could be, it really isn't actually functionally that different. It just is a different, if it's a difference of like degrees in the lore and the experience of other things we've experienced, but it isn't from a design standpoint. It's not very different.
No, exactly. So I don't know. To be fair, like I do currently think that the whole Hammerfell thing might be, I don't know. That's a prevailing thing, and I'm curious.
I think we're going to the Daggerfall, Hammerfell, Aeliac Bay region.
I am thinking that might hold credence too. Unless, of course, this was a total misdirection and we're actually doing something in, you know, I guess Aldmeri Dominion territory because of where potentially the story could take place. The problem is we know nothing about the story context.
Right.
Is it with the rise to power of the Thalmor still?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have they taken over? Have they lost?
Are we doing a short jump into the future? Or are we doing a long jump into the future? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I think that governs a lot. And since we don't know that at all, the only thing is, I guess, if it does relate to that conflict, the Red Guards definitely put the smackdown on them before. So that would also kind of lend credence to that area. But just because of the visuals of the only piece of anything we have, I tend to think that, but...
Yeah, but I mean, it's just a landscape. Like, the continent is big, and you could kind of pick almost any zone and just be like, okay, this part has hills.
This part has a little bit of greenery. Like, well, I mean, this part has some water. It's a coastline, and here's some sort of architecture, but, like, that's not definitive. People are really nitpicking that, and that's fine. Like,
I don't know that that was even meant to reveal the location so much as just be like a tone piece.
Sure. And and that's why it's like, without knowing it, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Honestly, the biggest thing now is just, man, that six being a VI.
Yeah. Yeah. What if that is
honestly,
a broken
that
down
to me is the most convincing argument.
What if what we're looking at there is Akavir and that is a broken down fortress that was designed by the Imperials that is now in ruins?
Right.
In Akavir. So, it could be.
Yeah, it totally could be. So I would definitely say I don't think we're leaving, but
yeah, I agree. I think it's not super likely, but it would be amazing if it happened, and it's not out of the potential for it too.
No, and they've been exploring a lot with that. So I wouldn't be totally surprised, even if I don't think that's necessarily what's going to happen.
Right. Okay. Well, I think it's time to move. If we need to keep moving, or we're not going to get through all these questions.
I know,
but that is
really
a great question.
Overanalyze that one.
Yeah, that is a great question with lots of discussion. And we can definitely take some of these questions and talk about them on a future patron episode. So patrons, put these in your pockets if you want to revisit these all together.
We can have more opinions.
Absolutely. All right. So the next one in here, Blue Aries writes, do you guys ever plan on going in depth on certain topics like people, Tiber Septim, or places, the Soul Cairn? We've talked about actually both of those things.
Yes, and I love stuff like that.
Yes. So if you haven't found those episodes yet, maybe you're new to the show, maybe you're going through in order, maybe you're listening to the most recent ones but haven't kind of gone back and looked at all the options, both of those topics have been covered. There are episodes, if you go way back to when Lotus and I started doing episodes together, where we covered very specific characters. We've talked about some places in specifically, we've talked about some places in connection to, say, the Daedric Princes and their realms. We've talked about some of the
episodes
zones.
I think are great, but they also require the game to have fleshed out the character substantially. Otherwise, it's hard to turn them into a full episode.
Right, right. Yes.
So that's another part to that. Not that it's a problem, just that's why it's a little specific and it's a little less frequent. We do totally like character biography episodes.
Right, right. And sometimes it just comes down to, do we have anything interesting and new to add to the conversation? You know, like, sure. Like go back and listen to the Tiber Septim episode. I've got a crazy theory that I don't think I've heard anyone else share about the way that Tiber Septim and that part of the storyline was developed and how that works. So go check that out. That's definitely a thing. But yeah, we will be covering other things like that in the future. And if there are specific characters or places where you all have recommendations, you're like, yeah, I'd love to hear more about this, we'll take that into consideration. And if it's something that we can't do in an episode by itself, it might become pieces of a greater episode where we cover multiple bits. So all of mm-hmm. that is option. Those are options yep. for the future. All right. So Professor Bayless, good old Professor Bayless, Lord Professor, asks
what up,
us,
Lord Professor?
What in-universe booze seems the most appealing?
Oh, most appealing. Okay.
Most appealing. Not
because I was going to say I know the grossest appealing. One, which is Rotmef.
Yes, that seems like the grossest one. And why does that seem so gross, Lotus?
Because it's just fermented guts.
Yes, that is the correct answer.
Like fermented guts and milk. I forget the exact yeah. details to it. It's horrific.
It is horrific. What is even the full list? Elder Scrolls booze. Let me see if I can find a list. Alcohol. Oh, here. UASP, of course, has a list of alcoholic beverages. Beer. Beer exists. Ale exists. Golden.
Before we get into it, I have two that I'll just throw out real
okay,
quick.
Go for it.
Okay. One, moon sugar, because it sounds like it would be like a really fruity drink, but then you'd regret it because you're immediately addicted. Uh-huh. But it just sounds sweet and probably just kind of tasty. But this is super weird.
Well, is the moon sugar itself liquid form? Is it a drink?
Skooma is what I skooma. Mean. Sorry. Okay. Skooma, okay. Which so is this, sort of a drink, right. sort of a drug.
Yes.
But sorry. Yeah, yeah. Skooma, like the distilled version into drug form. But no, the other one, which it's just because I always thought it sounded cool rather than anything else, in The Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind, and it's actually in ESO as well, is Matza.
Okay. I don't know much about
it. For some reason, I just thought matzah. That was a cool name, and I always yeah. was like, I wonder what that would taste like.
I don't know. I don't
no
know much about
thought
matzah.
To that. That's just the first one that came to mind.
Okay, so here, there's a table of cons. There's lots of individual. It turns out that there are lots of different types of beers or ales or whatever, but yeah. I'm just going to go through the main topics, the main main concepts of drinks that are in the list. So there's beer, which includes ale, brandy, cider, cocktails, gin, jaga. Don't know what jaga is. Clef. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yep.
Yeah. Do you know what clef is? K-L-E-F?
Nope.
Don't know what that is. Mead, liqueur, kishr, Q-I-S-H-R, rotmeth, rum, sujama, whiskey, wine, phlegm wine.
Beautiful.
Sweet bile.
Oh.
Thiolol. Don't know what that is. Ungorth. And then unknown, list of unknown ones. Some of these sound disgusting.
I like how some of those classify as known.
Yeah. I mean, we should do an entire episode on all the different kinds of alcoholic beverages.
I was not choosing one that I actually like. I like rum in real life, so I'm yeah. not going to choose that. That's not fun.
Well, I mean,
so that's
I
why
mean,
I went with well, they, matzah.
Yeah. Well, they asked, matzi. You know, what is the most appealing? And I think rum is very, is delicious.
Yes.
I like rum. Brandy's okay. But I'm not much of a drinker. Like I get migraines and stuff. Yeah. It's one of those migraine triggers too. So.
Okay. Yeah. I know that can be a huge trigger.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm definitely just kind of like a social drinker. So like I like some of my things, but a lot of times I'll have like one or two of something for taste, and then I'm like, all right, I'm good.
There's a brandy called Ancient Dagoth Brandy. Distilled by House Dagoth. Man, there's some cool ones in here. Maybe we should do an entire episode about all these.
I was going to say, this seems like this is actually a bigger topic than I expected.
Yeah, Kine's Kiss. That sounds fun. I'm just scrolling through Rotmeth. Moon Sugar Rum. There you go.
Oh, see, now that's both of what I just said. I like rum, and I wanted to try skooma, even though it would probably cause me to like be addicted to it. But maybe I'll just go with moon sugar rum.
What about this
sounds
one?
Delightful.
This one sounds very deadly. Daedric lava whiskey.
Yeah, now that's a one and done, and you don't have like an intestinal tract.
Right, you burn yourself out from the inside. Ooh. All right. Well, there you go, Professor Bayless. I'd love to hear your pick. I'm sure it's going to be something fun. So thank you for those questions on the Patreon. We have a bunch of other questions over on the Discord. Are you ready for the next one, Lotus?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. So Mason Alcantara.
Oh, chillin' chat with us.
Yeah. So Mason writes, if you could choose one race to add to the playable races in Elder Scrolls games, which would it be and why? You want to take this first? What do you think?
Sure. It would be the Maumer.
Really?
Okay. Yes, it would be the Maumer. I actually really, I'm one of the few people who thinks that we're pretty close to capped on the amount of playable races I think we should have. Mm-hmm. I love interacting with other races, but I don't know, for some reason I find it weird to have too much access to things that I can choose as my character, although I think Maumer would be interesting. I feel that would fit the same way that like Orsimer were added type of thing, because we've gone over this before. Orsimer were not always a race, neither were Imperials. Like, yeah, you couldn't always be these other races.
Right.
I think Maumer would fit because right now they're sort of, they're not, I mean, some of the stories show them more as a complete race the way Orsimer were added to the series, mm-hmm, with like a culture and stuff like that. But in games, the only time you really ever encounter them is ESO, and they're kind of, for the most part, just generic enemies.
Yeah, you get a little bit of like spicy dialogue in some of the quest lines with some of the characters, yes, who like call certain things
out. And I love the, I can't remember the captain's name, but she works with you. Mm-hmm. She's a fantastic character. So they're not all just like enemy types,
right?
But they strike me, they fit more in the same category as the orcs were originally in the series.
Right.
They're, yes, they're a very similar style of, yeah, they're there.
Yeah, they're bad guys. They're fodder. Yeah,
they're
maybe
bad
you cooperate
guys
with them because you need them for a little bit, but they just kind of play into a quest line.
But yeah, then, you know, you look at some of the diplomatic stuff with the stories with King Orgnum and stuff like that. There's a lot more to them.
Yeah.
I think they would be kind of a natural fit if we were to add Maumer to the series.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to go with, I was going to joke and say Slowed, because wouldn't that be ridiculous if you could customize your own Slowed?
Yep, you can only roll.
You had like a roll attack.
Roll and mind control, that's all you get.
Just like dark necromancy and rolling around because you're this big round boy.
And you turn your children into soap.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not going to say that. But here's the thing that I've really wanted for a long time is some sort of Daedric playable race. And I know that that is probably
like a
never.
Or something.
Yeah, I think Dromora would be an obvious one. Zivalai might be cool. I know that that sounds impossible because you would be just like ostracized as soon as you walk into a town. People will be like, dear God, what are you doing
what
here?
What is this monstrosity?
Right. There's a Daedra in my weapons store. Get out, you know, or just attack you on spot. But I think that there's something that's one of the things ESO has done in incorporating Daedra, especially some of the zones you get to go and you actually get to, you know, spend some time around them, working in understanding how their world works and all of that. The novels, we've talked about this multiple times.
Yep.
You get insight into them in the novels. I think if we really want a new race that feels foreign, that doesn't just feel like a reskinned elf or a man or something like that, we need to go further afield. Now, that's something like a Daedra. It could be something like a Slowed, although I doubt that as well. If we're going to Akavir, it could be one of those weird and wacky races, because there's a number of those. Like the ape people or one
the
of those
tiger people, the tiger, Tengmo.
Yeah, or maybe dragon people even. Like there are other options.
For sure.
But I think Daedra would be more interesting than some of those others. I just don't know how you would ever incorporate it into the games in a way that doesn't just double the amount of work you need to do for every single quest that you go on or any of that. But I think it would be cool. I just don't think it's likely. So
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Let's see. Whiskey fan, welcome to the chat. Let's do this one while it's up on the screen. We don't lose it. I got a question. What's your game backlog outside of the Elder Scrolls? Oh, no.
So I'm trying to finish in the very limited game time I have since I've become Lotus of Dad.
Lotus of Dad.
I'm trying to finish God of War Ragnarok.
That's a good one. One I haven't finished. I do this thing where I play through like 90% of a game and then I get distracted by something else. And then I have to come back and relearn how to play the game in order to just finish like the last 2 hours.
So I need to finish God of War Ragnarok. I need to start and go through Horizon Forbidden West because I absolutely loved the first Horizon, mm-hmm. Zero Dawn.
Okay.
And I'm also playing The Legend of Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link on my little handheld thingy because sometimes it's the only way I can play anything while my daughter's like in my arm trying to doze off.
Yeah, I totally get that.
I beat Zelda 1 already, so now I'm going to 2.
Okay, I can claim as a child on the original NES, I beat both of those games.
Still to this day, love the first one.
Yeah.
The second one's different. I don't think it aged poorly. I remembered a shocking amount of the secrets playing through it. Mm. The sequel, I've never beaten.
I was able to beat both of those as a kid, which looking back on it is kind of impressive.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the second one, that is tough.
Yeah. But classic games for sure. Those are cool. All right. So I picked up Path of Exile 2. I haven't gotten to the end game yet. I've been waiting. They just dropped a big patch like yesterday. I've been waiting for them to improve some of the functionality. You can't really respec. It costs too much money. But so far that's been great. If you're looking for like a Diablo 2 kind of feeling game, mm-hmm. It's in early access, but there's a lot there already. That's worth getting to. I haven't gotten to the end game yet, but it's one of those games you can kind of grind forever. I've also been playing, I picked up the new Stalker game, Stalker 2, same kind of thing. It came out a little broken and I've been waiting for them to patch it. Turns out there's a new patch that came out today, so I haven't played through all of that. That fixes enough of the issues that I was having for me to be able to jump back in. And it's huge, like it's like 100 gigabytes of patch data.
Good lord.
The game's like 150 gigabytes total on PC. So they patched a bunch of stuff. So that's been patched. Balatro, have you played Balatro?
I have not, but I've heard a ton about Balatro.
Yeah, it's great. It is a really good game.
And I like poker,
it's a card game.
I really probably should try that at some point.
Yeah, it's like crazy poker designed by one guy. It's been nominated for Game of the Year up against these major studio games. It's really well done. I've unlocked a lot of stuff, but I can't say I've unlocked all of it. But if you're talking like backlog, I've probably got at least dozens of things that I just have never started or picked up on sale somewhere and just never got into. An example of this would be, and I know this sounds crazy, Baldur's Gate 3, I still haven't gotten out of the first chapter of that game. I've restarted it 3 or 4 times. I've tried playing it with other people. I think the game is wonderful. I just haven't. It's one of those things that just is going to take a lot of focus and really just focusing
and playing.
Yeah, it's
like too much almost.
Yeah, and I just haven't been in that headspace lately. I've been more in the headspace of like, I just want to play something for 30 to 60 minutes and then I'm kind of done, on to something else. But I know when that gets its teeth in me, it'll be the sort of thing where I go, oh, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Where did the last 5 hours go? You know, like that kind of thing. So I just haven't finished that yet. But I know that's totally my jam. Lots of cool lore. D&D is awesome. Cool characters. Mechanics are great. The graphics are wonderful. You know, all of that stuff. So that's on my list. All right, let's move on. Thank you for that question, Mason. Let's talk to Zaith. I think that's how you pronounce this name. If you had to pick a race to add more to their lore, which would you choose and why? In what ways could you see Bethesda developing them versus the direction you would personally want to see?
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So So what race do you want more lore about?
I actually want more to the Imperials. They were not one of the original races that you could play in the game. I'm actually trying to remember off the top of my head. I actually am not entirely sure they were even just considered a thing in the first game.
No, I don't think they were.
I don't think so.
I don't think they were. Yeah.
I would really like that. They've been adding to them. They've been filling out information from them. And, like, yes, they've kind of got the, like, oh, yeah, we're a... We're sort of Roman, but right. In different regions. Like,
yeah.
I would like to see them keep expanding more on that, because I think they could, the more we get from them, the more kind of unique I think they feel. And I would like that to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be a good one. I love that we've gotten more stuff about a lot of the races in ESO. All the first socks in elsewhere, the little zone where we learn more about Argonians and the Hist. I think that stuff's great. Each of the zones in ESO has really fleshed out a lot of the races in very interesting ways. I think the one that it seems most lacking maybe is the Bosmer.
Yeah, for sure.
We do get lore from the Bosmer. The new zone goes into more lore about the Bosmer, but this idea of, like, you know, Falunesti and the walking trees and where they came from and the ooze and the, there's some really cool, weird Bosmer stuff that just kind of gets talked about but never shown. I would love more about that.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right. So... That's that one. Thank you, Zaith. And tell you what, instead of taking a mid break here, let's just kind of do the patron thanks at the end. We'll kind of mix it up a little bit. So we can just keep on going. Blinding Vision says, do you think they'll do a prequel series less like ESO and more like Before the Modern Eras, like a game where the Needs, Chimer, and others that eventually become the current races live in Tamriel are the focused? What do you think?
You think we'll get prequel? Kind of like something like that, because I feel like the spin-offs to the series have mostly been enjoyable in their own way.
Are you talking like Redguard? Battlespider?
Yes, even the clunkers, they bring something unique.
Even the old clunkers.
Even the old clunkers.
They do bring things that are unique. They have glaring issues, but they do.
But, like, again, some of the lore really got started with Redguard. Like, a lot of it got kind of solidified with Redguard, even though that I think Redguard's one of the worst games I've ever played.
But the fact that the lore was... you would have to give Todd... props on that. That was the first one he was like project lead on.
Right.
So people have issues and they're like, well, whatever. But like you got to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah. And that's sort of what I mean is like there's stuff like that. They're not like Shadow Key, as weird as that game is, has some cool lore that's not really ever been talked about much since. Mm-hmm. I liked that they got weird with some of those games. The mechanics could have certainly used work most of the time, but it wasn't for lack of effort on the I feel like the story part was what they added more so than in that great a gameplay. And the newer ones, I feel like gameplay is a little better, but there's way less in the story aspect. Like Blades, I thought actually played really... I had a lot of fun with Blades until I beat it, but the story added really nothing. We went over that in our like tiered episode.
Yeah.
And I mean, that Castles is just like, okay, it's a worse version of Fallout Shelter and it adds no story. Like that, I wish they would give us a real like gaming... Like we got some cool stories out of Legends, the card game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
Love that.
Right.
Like, I love that. So it's like, I kind of wish they would do these little side games, but with the focus still on the story. I would be all for it still.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. I don't know that we'll ever get a mainline game that is a prequel. I think the series traditionally has continued to move further in the future.
Well, sans ESO, I guess, because ESO is a prequel.
Right, it is, but it's a different kind of, it's not part of the mainline series. It's the MMO
right, it's
side
a weird prequel. Right. So it's like, yeah, right. It's like same thing like I was talking about. It's almost like the offshoots. Like, right. I don't think we'd ever have a numbered in the series right. that went right. backwards. If that, yes. I guess maybe that's what I should clarify.
But that's why I'm agreeing with you. That's exactly yeah. what I'm saying is like ESO is its own, it's an MMO offshoot. It doesn't mean it's not yep. canon. It's just right. a different kind of thing. I don't think we'll get a numbered was part of the series, and partly because the series is creating a meta arc, a meta story across all of those mainline right. games. So you need to continue moving forward with that. But I wouldn't be surprised if we got something that was like another side game that gave us a different perspective that was a kind of a more of a prequel.
Yeah, and or, that's where the strength of those kind of thing comes in.
Or a or TV could. Show. Or like a animated movie or something like that, that took some part of history that was not the bleeding edge of the story and gave us more interesting details about that stuff.
That would work for me.
Yeah, but I can't, it's hard for me to come up with like a different kind of side game that they could do. I don't doubt that they could do a prequel version of something, but I'm not sure what that side game would look like.
They probably have a pretty cool RTS, although that genre is really not popular anymore.
That genre is kind of gone.
It's sort of a dead genre.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. But good question, Blindy. All right. Rob the Princess asks, in a hypothetical world where the series would continue on regardless of the popular opinion of its games, would you prefer the games to be more dramatic and really going into the deep end of the weird and wacky lore like the other games, the good and the bad, or more like the newer direction, hitting broader strokes on plot lines so it's easier for the experience to feel relatable and more open-ended? Or to shorten this, what style of game do you appreciate more, Daggerfall or Skyrim? LOL. What do you think?
The strength of the series is when it gets weird, they need to stop being so afraid of getting weird and alienating people.
Yes.
People got yes. into the series when it got weird and stayed while it became
more
palatable.
Right, right.
To the masses.
Right.
If you market this, and it's gonna kill me to say this, you market this as Skyrim 2, dude, for the love of God, don't call it Skyrim 2.
Yes, no, don't do that.
Market it as a sequel to Skyrim with the next Elder Scrolls game and just let it be weird. Because spoilers, when you get games that are weird, people are always very, oh, well, you gotta have it be for the masses and you want it to have like a broad appeal. Things like the From Soft games with mm-hmm. Elden Ring and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's all of those games, they are weird, they are they're brutally difficult compared to most games, and people love them and they sell like gangbusters.
Right.
You get games like Baldur's Gate 3, people love the just directions and you can do weird crap in that game. Yes. Just people are looking for that too.
Yes,
there is a market, and yeah. I think when it catches on and is popular enough, the crowd that they're kind of going for, like the blue ocean strategy, well, we got to get as many people involved as possible. Mm-hmm. If you get the grassroots players to really enjoy it, it doesn't matter how weird it is, and a lot of times unique and weird will get them hooked.
Yeah,
because it's fun
and it's different, it stands out,
it's different.
Mm-hmm.
You'll yes. capture that wider audience eventually because the hype cycle will build. People need to stop being afraid of being unique with stories.
Right. So I think that there are a few things going on here. I think you can be topically weird, but you can still be mechanically approachable.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Approachable is a great way of putting it. You can right. be weird, but approachable.
It doesn't need,
you
to,
need
be
to be weird easy. And also have the combat system of Morrowind.
Right. It doesn't need to be particularly easy. It doesn't need to be particularly like a pushover. It also doesn't need to overly cater to the player and allow you to do every quest in the game on one playthrough. I don't think that yes. that is not what I mean by approachable. What I mean by approachable is, if you look at the evolution of even this series,
The difficulty of playing these kinds of games in the 90s and then even the early aughts is that it took a long time for game developers to really refine the craft of not alienating the player and making the player feel frustrated, to maximize the fun of playing. But in doing that, they also homogenized a lot of the settings and all these other characteristics in the games. And I don't think those two things are the same.
Yes, that's the problem. Those two things don't need to happen together.
Right,
you can do, because a lot of times when they're like, oh, the series has been dumbed down, and I think a lot of ways the series has been streamlined, and I'm okay with that.
Yes.
However, that doesn't mean that there's still a lot of things that I think they should kind of maybe learn from the past with. And I feel like the perfect example is Starfield, was them wanting to take that step, but as soon as they got their ankles in the water, like, we can't go any deeper. No. Like, and they stopped.
Right.
Where it was like, yeah, look at all these things you can do with your character. Ooh, that's too many things you can do with your character. It's like, what? No, this is what people are wanting. Right. There's a reason people were excited about that. Finish. Like, go through. So right on the cusp.
Another way to say it would be for it to be easy to get into, like easy to pick up, but hard to master.
Yes.
Right. Like, so, and that's a really tricky thing to balance. This idea that like anybody, it can be new to the series and pick it up and understand it enough to be able to play and enjoy it. They can swing their sword. They can throw their fireballs. They can talk to the characters. They can find out, oh, there's this demonic looking weird being called the Daedra and it wants me to go on this quest. I don't know. It's full backstory. I don't know how everything's going, but okay, I'll go do it because this is fun and I get some cool rewards and whatever. Like that simple loop of just like, you load up a character, you make a character, you go through the game, you figure out where to go. Like, it's a good thing they put little points on the horizon that you can go find. Like, all of that stuff makes it easy to get into, but extending that out to difficult to master. And we've talked about this on previous episodes as well, this idea that why not include, like, you have difficulty levels. Skyrim, you can put it super easy, but you can put it really hard. Why not include, like, a toggle that allows you to make decisions that break the game, break the lore of the game. You can never complete
one
a quest.
One major thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's like, you should be able to do whatever. Characters should be like they used to be.
Right.
But the games, even with Morrowind, it told you done screwed up. Like, you've broken the prophecy, blah, blah, blah. The world, you've plunged the world into darkness.
Yeah.
That's fine. Tell people, don't let them just continue on. That's fine giving them a warning.
And hard save it right before that happens. So that if they go,
let them do it.
Hey, this is what happened. You're not going to be able to finish this main quest. If you want to roll it back, now's the time. Make a different choice.
And if you want to play through and just,
just see what happens, go for it.
You know, the shield of mass destruction, and you can do a billion damage and blow up Almora. Fine, that's on you.
And I feel like that's lore accurate, because if you are an extremely powerful sorcerer or wizard or something in the game, then you can become this like undying lich who commands a legion of armies and takes over the continent. Like that, theoretically, that is possible to amass power and to play the game of like crafting potions that seem impossible or crafting magic that does ridiculous stuff because you figured it out. And that's part of the make it easy to get into, but hard to master. If you're going to spend the amount of time to figure out how to gather the ingredients, mix the things together, finish the right quests, get the right elements to break the game, then allow people to break the game. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's totally fine.
I agree.
And especially because it's a solo game, it's a single player game. Baldur's Gate is another example of this. There are combination builds of stuff in Baldur's Gate that absolutely steamroll and break the game. That's totally fine. If you figure that out for yourself, or if you want to look up a guide of how to do it and that's how you have fun playing the game, then do it. If you want to just kind of stumble your way through and figure out where to go, as long as you can still get through the game, that's fine too. That's part of giving player agency, and I think all of that is extremely possible. So to go back to Rob's question, I think a combination of the two things is best. I think that we do need to carry forward some of the accessibility stuff from Skyrim.
Yep.
But I wouldn't mind the complexity, the weird and wacky, and maybe even a few of the rough edges kind of keeping around in order to just, spice things up a little bit. I don't think that balance is bad. I think that that's part of what makes the game series unique.
Yep. I completely agree.
Yeah. So Good question, Rob. Thanks for chiming in with that. We got this one from Dan Baca Solo. I always love this name. Would you serve the Divines or Daedra if you and Lotus got teleported into the Elder Scrolls universe?
I remember this one specifically.
Oh, man.
Because somebody also commented that they're pretty sure they already know my answer.
Who are you going to serve, Lotus?
Yeah, so...
Who are you going to serve, Lotus?
If I had to live in this world, as much fun as it is in video game form, this world is a freaking nightmare where yes. everything's awful yeah. all the time. If I can literally see gods existing and just murdering people at the drop of a hat, yeah, you know, at that point... Give me my lobster potato. That's who I'm going with. It's just like Kermaeus Mora, because it's like, hey, as long as I'm just not overtly being a pain in the ass, he seems less likely to tear off my skin.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. Well, here's the other thing. So if we actually lived in that universe, then our perspective would not be the perspective we have, where we're able to play through the lives of all these heroes and we're able to read all the books. Like, chances are we would be an average commoner. You and I.
Oh, without a doubt. I would just be horrified that something was going, like, Bardow was just going to land on me one day because somebody I don't know annoyed somebody else.
Right. We would be merchants or farmers, some very common trade. We would be uneducated. We would have a very limited experience of the world. And with that perspective in mind, do you worship the Aedra who don't seem to respond to anyone's prayers except for when like a giant dragon shows up in the middle of near the White Gold Tower, right? The middle of the city to fight Dagon? Or do you worship the Daedra who in their shrines all over the place and sometimes they pop up and do weird stuff?
Yeah,
they seem more real.
It's beneficial to you.
Right. They seem more real. They seem dangerous, but they also work out deals. I think I probably would just end up worshiping whoever first came my way, and that chances are that's going to be a Daedric Prince rather than an Aedra.
Right, and that's what I mean. It's like, I feel like it's just like, if I was going with a Daedric Prince, it just seems like Hermaeus Mora is one of the least likely to just kill me for sport.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, your information may be limited.
Might be limited, so I might think that, you know, one of the others is not going to kill me for sport.
Yeah. Yeah. You might be like, oh, the neighbor down the way made a deal with Clavicus Vile. That sounds like a good idea.
Right.
So, and then you're like, oh, nope. Messed that up. Yeah, not a good idea.
Regardless of the situation, it's Daedra. It's because they're the only real tangible things that I think are going to happen. And they seem to meddle quite a bit.
Yeah.
And they don't like being annoyed.
Right. What about this in a world where, your existence is very limited and your, you know, survival is very, very low, and just go with Sanguine. Just have a party, just party out.
Hedonistic right until death.
Right. It's just, yeah. Hedonism and then die. That's it.
Yeah. You know what? That's fine. We'll go with that. All right. That seems pretty good, too.
Nice. All right. Thanks, Dan Baca. Villain Behind Glasses writes, what would be the one feature you would like to be added from the older games? Good features or bad features? An example would be Radiant AI NPCs. I think that's a great idea. I absolutely hope that they do not, they remove that for Starfield.
That's right.
Yeah. I think, well, they limited it. Like, vendors are always there regarding the time of day.
Right.
But it's also complex because planets have different day-night cycles. Some of the day-night cycles are super weird. So I get why they would have made that choice for Starfield, but I think that they absolutely need something like a Radiant AI system with cycles and things like that in the next.
I would agree.
I think that's part of making it feel like a real place.
Yeah. I'll say what I've been most recently on my mind whenever I play Daggerfall. They need to bring back climbing.
Yeah.
That's like such a cool skill that does not exist anymore.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good
one. It's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, if we've learned anything from Skyrim, people love the Skyrim horses because they help you get up mountains that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to explore. So, yes. Max. And I think that plays into the strengths of the game, is maximize my ability to explore. If I see something, give me the ability to get there. And when I get there, maybe there's something there, maybe there's not. But the potential that there could be lets me keep exploring. So, absolutely. I totally agree with that one. I think magic crafting
Yes, is a that's good idea. Something they need to stop limiting. Stop worrying so much about balance in a single player game. I personally say don't worry about balance unless it's a competitive game. Like even yes. ESO, I feel like they need to chillax on the balance. Like I don't care. As long as it's co-op, don't ruin PvP. That's no fun.
Yeah, but I think that you don't make it necessarily easy to do. I think it's something you have to grind for and you have to work for. But if you unlock the ability to make yourself fly around like Superman and punch people in the face across the map, sure, why not?
Why not?
Right. So,
why shouldn't I be able to do that?
But make me earn it. So it actually feels like, okay, I've earned this power. And if things combine in weird and wacky ways, I love that. That's part of the reason why I keep going back to The Binding of Isaac. Have you ever played The Binding, the creepy baby game?
I have a little bit.
Yeah. So the genius of that game is that it is difficult, but you, on certain playthroughs, you will pick up combinations of things that all of a sudden you become empowered and you can just blow through the rest of the game in really interesting and weird ways because of the way that the items mesh together and create effects that you wouldn't have even considered as an option.
For sure.
And there's a lot of, it's a roguelike, so there's a lot of randomness to that. You take that kind of design and you put it into Elder Scrolls where you play through the game a few times and you start to go, oh, if I go over here and I get this thing out of this dungeon, I go over here and learn this ability and I combine them, I can do really weird stuff that I didn't consider before. I think that's a genius way to set that kind of thing up. All right. So thanks, Villain. Saint Geob says, given the features we've seen in Starfield, vehicles, settlement building, new game plus via the ending, which do you think will show up in Elder Scrolls 6? Which do you want and which do you not? So maybe we take these individually. What do you think about vehicles?
Vehicle thing, I don't know. I don't use the horse very much in.
What if we had a boat?
Games?
What if it's in the Iliac Bay?
Well, that's
Bay
what I was going to say. Like, I guess maybe depending on the situation that we get, I'd be more open to it. But I'm definitely just like, the vehicles thing has never been a huge draw to me, although I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I need it. I still want horses. I wouldn't mind a wider variety of mounts and things that you can have. You know, like when you play through Skyrim and you do the Dark Brotherhood and you get the, Shadowmere?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Shadowmere is great. It just felt really cool having a very cool special horse, you know, like...
Right.
Expand
so that
stuff
way
out a
I
bit.
Could launch myself off Shadowmere right before I hit the ground and not die.
Right. Or just feel like a badass when you come into the town with a horse with glowing red eyes, you know, like a black horse.
Yeah, the design of Shadowmere is wicked cool.
Right. Yeah, so give me the ability to, like, maybe as other quest rewards or things I can purchase with my gold or things I can make, maybe even like a Dwemer construct you can ride around in. I think that would be cool. We talked about boats previously, the idea that like if you could have a boat and you build it kind of like the housing system and then it allows you to travel to different islands, that could be a thing, although I think it would be difficult to do it in a way where it still feels fun and approachable, but I think you probably could.
Yeah, I like a home base idea. I love base building, but the vehicle thing itself, so like if you had like a mobile transport hub, to your point, just jumping off that, like a boat, like, oh, you can design like the quarters of the boat and stuff. That'd be neat, but like...
Design your own town? Like a full-on settlement?
I was about to say, I was one of the people who... Another settlement needs your help. Yeah, Preston Garvey didn't bother me because I couldn't get enough of that. I loved that.
Really? Wow. Yeah, okay. Because that stuff I just kind of did because it was there, but I didn't.
Nope.
I
redesigned almost every one of those places.
Wow. Okay. So you and I are very different on this. Like we were talking in the pre-show about how you were like, yeah, just let me design my character once and then I'm just going to, I'm not going to, don't give me new like things to put on my character. Don't let, like, I don't care about the hairstyle, any of that stuff.
But let me build a fortress.
Whereas I'm like, I'll build the fortress one time, but then I'm done and I move on. Yeah. But I'm definitely of the mindset of like, if I feel like making my character look different, I totally want to be able to do that. Like, it's funny. Both
That's
of us.
That's actually really funny. I didn't realize that. Yeah, we're completely like opposite in that regard. Because I'll build fortresses all day. That stuff is so much fun to me.
Yeah. What do you think about New Game Plus? They do it. So that is one of the things they do in Starfield really well. By the way, like that is
it is. It's factored
cool.
into the game.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Which it could be in Elder Scrolls with some sort of weird Dragon Break kind of time.
Right.
Thing.
My thing is, and it's something that usually these games are very good with. I like having my one thing, and I like to do everything on my thing. Everything possible. Like if you, you know, if you
that's
can't
what you
do,
tell your wife, right?
Yes.
That's why you're now a father.
Correct. I just want to do everything once.
I just want to do everything on my thing right now, maybe.
So, like, the New Game Plus doesn't bother me, but, like, I guess I would be hesitant because these games are so big and so about exploration. It's like, well, if I go to New Game Plus, is it going to reset all the things I have discovered in this world currently? I don't find that appealing. Mm. For example, as dumb as it is, when you clear places out in Skyrim and it puts cleared next to them,
yeah,
my map needs to have everything say cleared next to it.
Right.
Even though
that's because you're a completionist. That's because you're an achievement hunter. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, like, the New Game Plus thing, I totally get it, and I like it as an option for people because then you can take your same character to go do some, make other choices and stuff.
What if that's how you're able to do all the guild quests at the same time?
Which
it's again, not in one playthrough, like one story one session, character. But with one yep. character through I would, New Game Pluses.
And that's why I kind of like the idea of it being there. So yes, I am totally okay with that. How much I would use it depends on how the mechanics of the game are.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I think it could be done in a good way. I am more of the mindset of, like, once I'm done with a character, I want to start a new character. I also have had a lot of fun in the early days when I was streaming before I did podcasts and I was trying to do streaming as a, like a thing. I had a lot of fun playing through Skyrim with different character builds and specifically role-playing my characters. I know I've done some episodes where I do a little bit of that in ESO, but this idea of, especially in the mainline games, where, like, I'm a kleptomaniac and now I have to steal everything in the house before I leave, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Why are you going to call out my gameplay?
I know some people do this, like, automatically, but when you do it according to certain rules where, like, you don't nope out just because it's a bad idea, you're like, no, my character is obsessed and I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and whatever bad play, happens.
Me thing.
Yeah, right.
Like, look at all these interactable items. I can't just leave them. The developers made them for me to steal.
Right, right. But, like, from that standpoint of, like, okay, this is how this character works. A New Game Plus, I would still want to play my character the same way, which means that it may mostly make the same decisions. So I'd want to start a new character anyway. But I think that's just a me thing. I don't think it means that New Game Plus shouldn't be an option if it seems to work well in the story and the lore and add replayability for people. So I think that is a good idea. Where else? I feel like there was more to this question. Where were we on this question? I don't know. I
feel like there was another part of it we didn't answer.
Yeah, no, we talked
about all the parts.
Yeah, we talked about vehicles, sediment building, New Game Plus. Is there anything else in Starfield that we would want to see? They have guns. No, not that. I mean, bows and crossbows and things like that are fine. Heck, maybe even like a Dwemer shotgun might be kind of a fun, weird
it's like
thing.
Some type of weird, like almost steampunky type thing from, like, you find like something. As long as it's not overly common, unless you find like a stockpile of it, that could be kind of interesting.
Right. Yeah. That kind of thing. It
could make be them rare. I wouldn't be opposed to something like that. That'd be kind of neat. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's fun. Here you go. Another aspect is if you do go to off of Tamriel to somewhere else, like another realm, having gravity and physics work a little bit differently, the way it does on different planets and moons, could be a fun thing to add to Elder Scrolls.
That could be interesting.
Like, what if you go to Joan and Jode and gravity's lower because they're moons and they're smaller?
Right.
That could be a thing.
I don't know. That would be neat.
Need to be. It feels like a kind of a secondary thing, but it also, it's one of those things that makes the world feel more real. Like, oh, I'm on a moon. The gravity would be lower because it's smaller. Sure. So that could be cool too. So thanks for that one, Saint. We've got Mason Alcantara. Oh, there's responding to something. Let's jump ahead. Nicholas says, if in TES6 they have a DLC like Dragonborn or the Shivering Isles where they send you off somewhere else, what part of the world would you want to have the DLC set in and what would you do there? I think we talked a little bit around this kind of concept in one of the previous answers.
Yeah, how we were referring.
Yeah.
Right. But I guess if we're going off island, like say we're going off island, someplace that I would commit to, if that was like the question, because it's a little more focused. If we're committing to it, I think I would want to see either the colored rooms or Thras.
Oh, Thras.
Those are kind of, I think, the two locations I would like to see the most.
Okay, I think those could be cool. If we're doing Hammerfell,
Moonshadow could be cool too.
Yeah, if we're doing Hammerfell and we're doing Redguard, Yakuza would be cool.
Yeah, like actually, ironically, Crowd just mentioned that in chat.
Oh yeah, 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 you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Yakuza. I think having imagine the storyline playing out like this. You start in Hammerfell and you see the current development of like the ancestors or the people who descended from the Yakudans, right? And the way their architecture works, the way their culture works, all of those kinds of things. And then at some point you go to Yakuza and you see the original stuff that influenced the way that stuff works in Tamriel. So you see like hints of similar architecture, but it's even older styled, or peoples who are still there on like whatever remains of those islands, and the culture and maybe even their language. They have thicker accents and like that kind of stuff. So it feels like you're now kind of moving to a more foreign place, but also sort of back in time a little bit. It's kind of like the experience of being an American who is descended from Europeans and then getting to visit Europe, where like the oldest buildings in the U.S. are not that old. You might find like I can go to in Florida, I can go to like St. Augustine and see some buildings that are like over 100 years old. But then I could also travel to a place like Spain and see buildings that are legitimately hundreds or, you know, over 1,000 years old. And there's that feeling of like, oh, I get the lineage here. I can see how this would have connected, that sort of thing.
Right. Gotcha.
I think that would be cool. So any other thoughts on that one?
No, I think that covers pretty good.
So thanks, Nicholas. And these questions are great.
Some of these are really, these are fun, like, just like, oh yeah, I never thought of it like that. Or, yep, no, this is something I'm super in favor of.
This one's from that weird Oni who writes, what would you want for ESO's next DLC? Like which location and what would the plot points resolve around if you got to choose? Well, based on the new update, we're not going to get a new zone for a while. But the next time we do get a new zone, what do you think? Like, speaking of locations.
So I know we've gotten stuff with Elsewhere, but I guess one of the things that I really love as part of the series, and I just every time, especially ESO, the way they've done it, I find that the Dramothra and the Bent Dance and all of that is so cool. I kind of can't get enough of that yet. Xerath Var actually is one of the new companions. You go a lot into that with him during his quest line. More of that. Like, just whatever the series wants to do with more of that, I am all about. With the just Khajiit stuff when it deals with their lunar lattice and some of the weird sides of it, I just think is fascinating and super unique to the series.
Yeah, I agree. That would be cool. I don't know that I have anywhere in particular. I think that there are parts of the map it would be fun to explore more of. I think this goes back to the Bosmer stuff. I would love to have somehow the, you know,
Felonesti, the walking city, the walking that we were speculating maybe was a thing.
Right. Like that somehow show up in a zone or in some other weird place that's disconnected, but yet still able to get to somehow.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that's like me with the, like, just referring back to the Elsewhere thing. We have, you know, all of this area with Northern and Southern Elsewhere, and then we have Reaper's March and all this stuff, and it's great. And then for some reason, if you look at the ESO map, there's just a strip where the Tenmar Forest is just, we can't go there. And I'm like, no, like, why is that one strip of map not filled in?
Right. So another good question. We're getting close to the end here. We got to get through the rest of these.
There's a bunch of good ones.
This one could be very deep. Ombre Morton says, what theory on what happened to the Dwemer is most interesting to you and why? I know what I think. Do you know what you think?
Go with yours, because I have thoughts.
Okay, so, I mean, there's a number of theories. We've done an episode on this before.
Sure.
I think the funniest one is they turn themselves all into soul gems and they power all the mechanized things that are left behind.
I think that's probably the most entertaining.
Yeah, I think that one would be hilarious if that's actually the answer. Is like, hey, that they thought they were finding ultimate power or somehow, like, you know, moving beyond this realm, but really they just were tricked and they just entrapped themselves in a bunch of soul gems.
That's probably the most entertaining. Honestly, like, the thing that I have with them is I love, and it's going to drive people nuts hearing this, I love not knowing. Like,
yeah,
that just being a lingering mystery, I don't want them to give a definitive answer. And people hate that because I know so many people want a definitive answer. I really don't want them to give a definitive answer. I like how weird that one mystery is to the series. The turning themselves into soul gems is pretty funny. The weird being, I don't know, the thing that with Yagram Bagarm where, like, he was traveling on a different plane and when he came back, they were basically missing. I'm very, like, I want to have, like, I guess the thing I find most interesting is they essentially spit in the face of the Daedra so many times. It makes me curious, like, while he was gone, who finally pushed one of them over the edge?
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be the first time, Dunmer, that the whole race is punished for some transgression. And, like, I mean, the Dwemer were a giant transgression. So,
like, yeah, no, it's true. Like, yeah, some sort of punishment. But the punishment could be that they're all soul gems.
Interesting. yeah.
Maybe. I know that wouldn't be super satisfying. Another idea would be, like, they all move themselves through time, kind of like the dragons got moved through time, and they'll just kind of show back up again. That could be fun. There's a number of them. Go back and listen to that episode if you want all of them. But I think to me, the funniest one is just, like, they're soul gems.
Oh, Solgrim one, I think, is easily the funniest. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, as much as it is, it's the fact that I like really not having an answer as my answer,
right? Or just simply the idea that, like, true enlightenment was just unmaking themselves.
Yeah,
they just undid themselves from reality, yeah. And that is the only true freedom is to
they
not
were the
be
Thalmor
bound
before the Thalmor.
Right, is no longer to be bound to this existence. Yeah,
yeah.
And they just undid themselves. That's another fun idea. So we got, like, two more left. Berserker on PC writes, "What moons would y'all like to be born under if you were a Khajiit?"
Ooh, I was just talking about. We could go with the, what is it, the missing? I was going to say, get me as part of some of that Dramothra stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to be the weird Khajiit that looks like a human.
From the
still
first
a Khajiit, but is like a man.
What's the one where you, I don't know my lunar phases too well off the top of my head.
I don't know which phases coincide with stuff off the top of my head, but, like, they all have to do with specific Khajiit. Like, you could be, like, the real big ones, you could be, like, the little guys.
That was what I was going to say. I was like, dibs on the Senche Rot, so everybody's just like, okay, leave him alone, he's huge.
Yeah, I kind of went the other direction. Like, you know, people think I'm just a house cat, but I'm, like, a master wizard. Yeah, the Alfique. And so I get underestimated all the time, but then all of a sudden I just cast spells, and they're like, what is happening? That seems fun to me as well. Which one would it actually be?
I don't know. The generic one. That the generic one makes me look like a tall cat.
A tall, cool cat looking guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably that. Because then you can fit into, like, most common clothing and, you know, doorways and
I don't necessarily
chairs.
Need different shoes anymore outside Morrowind.
Right. Yeah. I think I'd be able to travel more easily like that. I think that's what I'm going to go with too.
I feel like that joke also might. If you haven't played Morrowind, you couldn't wear shoes as one of the beast races.
That's true. That's
just
true.
In case anybody did not get that.
And you walked on your toes.
Really nerdy joke.
Yeah. You walked on your toes and you didn't wear shoes. All right, last question. This one comes from Brighton. Which of the expansion/DLC did you like the most? I love both the Solstheim ones and how they pushed the lore forward with Hersine and Mirak. What's your favorite? I'm gonna guess it's the Sheogorath one.
I was gonna say, I think the Sheogorath one, the Shivering Isles, I think has to take number one with a strong second, like really like a sliver behind being the Dragonborn expansion.
Yeah.
I think the Dragonborn expansion is awesome. It obviously deals with my favorite Daedric Prince. And I think Mirak is a wicked cool enemy. And they do a good job of kind of instigating you with him where it's just like, yeah, cool. I want to just take your dragon soul. So get effed.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, that's like actually annoying. Like, what are you doing? Really like that story.
And it's got Hermie.
I mean, it's got Hermie. I'm going back to One of my favorite areas of the map. Granted, it's the island to the side of it, but like I love Morrowind. Mm-hmm. And as you're coming up in the boat and it's playing the soundtrack from Morrowind again, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Think that's great. I just think the story is like so unique and cool and added so much and turned your character into a staple for the series going forward with the Shivering Isles. It's just,
yeah,
I think that would be number one, with a very close second being Dragonborn.
Yeah, I think I'm actually flipped on that. I actually think I've
you think Dragonborn first, Dragonborn Shivering first, Isles second?
Shivering Isles second.
Okay.
The vampire one for Skyrim, what is that called?
Oh, Dawnguard.
Dawnguard.
Yeah, that one was good. I like that. That'd be that third. Felt more like an expansion to me.
Yeah.
Than
yeah.
Like,
well, Sauron is like a cool character. Vampire lore getting expanded on was pretty cool.
Yep. No, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, so I think I'd go that way. But yes, I think Mirak and extending our knowledge about dragon priests and the lore behind that. The lore behind
the dragons. Was really good, too, from Morrowind.
Yeah, see, and we've talked about this before. Like, I just kept bouncing off Morrowind, so I just never
right.
Never
I really mean, that, got also, that's, yeah, that one's way back there. But
yeah.
Just watching, like, the Tribunal.
22 really years cool. ago. 22 yeah. years.
Cool. I'm turning what? To dust as we speak.
Jeez. Yeah. That's
just
a
like
long time.
Out of the Tribunal getting all weird and it's like shanking each other and it's great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I
so
I
that's
can
a good
appreciate
one.
That.
That's a good one too. But yeah. I would definitely say I think mine's gotta be the Shivering Isles.
Okay. Well, there you go. Those are our answers. Thank you everybody for those questions. Those are awesome. If any of these came up and you have different thoughts on these, jump on the Discord, let us know your thoughts, or on the Patreon. I believe this post is available to everybody. So even people who sign up just for free accounts can comment on these specific Patreon posts. You don't have to be a subscriber. By the way, if you would like to help support us, gifting is a thing. I've talked about this a few times recently, but if you are just looking for something, if somebody's like, hey, what should I get you? And you go, oh, yeah, give me a subscription to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. I'd love to get a bunch of those early episodes or ad-free episodes and listen through stuff without ads. Or there's new t-shirts. I put new t-shirts and stickers up. So we've got a refresh. We have the final set of 4 Daedric Princes on the t-shirts with their styles and their designs. So you can get those. That's part of signing up a certain tier, and then you get one every 3 months. And you can when you gift stuff, you can choose the tier, you can choose however many months you want to gift, and you can even ask other people for that for you, or you give it to your friends. All of that stuff is available over there. Also, since I guess we're in the mid break now, which is now the end break.
Our mid-end break? Yeah.
This is the end break. Welcome to Zach, Jay, Cody, and Christian, who have signed up on the Patreon. Thank you for joining us. I'm so glad that you are all here. And Kira C is our current Daedric Prince, and that's 136 of you who are helping support the show. And thank you for being here through the last year. And for
thank you.
And for multiple years, we've been doing this a long time now. And here's to 2025 and all the new stuff, hopefully, that's coming to ESO, that hopefully will be wonderful and potentially Oblivion. Remastered, we'll see if that actually shakes out, and even if that stuff doesn't shake out as we hope, we will still be here to discuss lots of lore, because there's a ton of stuff we still haven't covered. So
sure is.
Don't worry, we're not going anywhere. Also, one last thing, we have this new review that came in. This is from Mr. Wolf. I think Mr. Wolf may have confused us for a complaint or bounty board of some sort instead of an actual review. 5
Beautiful.
Stars, hired killer needed. And a lot of this is all just one sentence, so I'm going to try to do my best to read it.
Yeah,
no
breaths, one sentence, no commas.
Here we go. Well, there's like a comma and then maybe a period and a dash and a colon in all of this. But it says, I need someone to kill the dragonborn for shouting my house apart. The payment is whatever is on them except their head. I need that also scare the town guards from the lizard investigating the loud dog sound and the skooma smell. It's not me, it's my roommate, period. I feel like this was like it's spoken into a phone, you know?
I accept.
So this is just what ends up. Payments. Colon, 1,000 coin and 50 Argonian mead, an Argonian citizen of Skyrim. This is wonderful.
I accept this 5-star review.
This is wonderful. Thank you so much for that 5-star review. I have no idea what it has to do with the podcast other than the fact that it's Elder Scrolls focused.
I love it.
Mr. Wolf, it's actually Wolfface, Mr. Wolfface Wolf. It's the full name.
Great.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Hopefully you are laughing along with us. I'm not trying to make fun of you.
I actually find that very funny. I love weird stuff.
It's enjoyable and weird in a fun in a fun way. So thank you for that. And thank you to everybody for being here. And again, we will be back in 2 weeks after the holidays. We have a patron chat coming up. That'll be the next episode we do.
We also have a random page we need to do before we get away from it.
Oh, yeah, we do. Oh, no, I didn't pull that up yet.
I did it in honor of Hearsie.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. We could do a patron chat on the 26th. That's the day after Christmas. I have a feeling people are going to be busy. So
that's going to, yeah, we might have to strategize on the day with that.
I think what we will probably do is push it back to the 2nd. So patrons, if that's cool with you, that day feels like more people are going to be available than the day after Christmas, but people are traveling and doing all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah.
So let's shoot for that. The 2nd. So next week you're going to get the holiday special episode, and then we'll see all of our patrons on the 2nd. So that'll be the plan for now. Unless something changes, we'll let you know on the Discord. So, all right. UESP. Let's pull up a random page.
Ended on the random page.
This is online crafting motif 124, the Recollection Boots.
Oh, those are relatively new.
Yeah, so missive from Quartermaster Minthaler to all Recollection factions. Our work across the Dawn Guard progresses nicely, despite some imbalances in our equipment. With our forces spread across the many camps in the region, some units are working with fewer resources than others. To rectify this, properly equipped our forces to achieve our goal, this missive outlines standard equipment and weapons that should be available at any camp, as well as the identifying marks and strategic improvements suggested by Recollection leadership. If you haven't played through this, the Recollection is this group that's trying to bring about Aethelia and, you know, weird new things.
Very topical.
Yeah. When equipping your camps, adhere to the following guidelines. If your camp does not have the resources to do so, reach out to your assigned quartermaster immediately. This is so just functional. Boots, all in caps. We have many paths to walk on our journey. Boots should be made of thick, supple leather to support the movement of our forces throughout the Dawnwood. Be sure to properly break in each pair to prevent creaky leather from giving away troop positions. Nice. That is a style. That's the details around the style.
That is your style motif.
Yeah, which means you can equip the boots and get a new fashion, which Lotus will never do because he only wears glass armor.
I've got the entire set. No idea what it looks like.
Nice. All right.
Gave me a 50-point achievement. That's the only reason I got it.
Awesome. Oh, there you go. Thank you, everybody, for your support and for being here. We will see you in the new year, and I hope you enjoyed the holiday special. It's coming up next week, and we'll be talking about all our favorite things for the year across me and some other guests from the other shows on the network. Hope you guys enjoy
that.
I'm
on it.
And Lotus made it. Yeah, Lotus was there too.
It's the first one I got to actually make.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We'll see you all in the new year. Thanks everybody for being here. See you later.
Bye everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Excited for the football season? Then don't miss your boost pack courtesy of BetMGM. Log into your BetMGM account today to receive your pro football boost pack. Then, apply the token from the pack to any qualifying pro football wagers, and you'll gain extra winnings and more. It's always fun to cheer for your favorite team and celebrate the game-winning drive. And now you can do that while getting in on the action with BetMGM. Make your bets and play along with the full slate of games like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, live betting options, original bets, and so much more. Log in or sign up today to get your pro football boost pack. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for full terms. 21 plus only. Must be 21 or older to wager. Ohio only. Existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards vary. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift
subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So, both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us, and it's a fun thing to give. So, hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.